Amen.
I just grace have completed college.
Amen.
I graduated last week.
Amen.
It has been 4 years. Just remember how I used to stand here to thank the Lord for taking through the examination, exams period. This course has been very hard for me. I should have finished this course last year. But it happened that during the end of the year, when we had to write up our final project, we were divided into three groups. Normally, they put up topics so that it's left with what we want to write your project about. This time around, because we didn't have money, so they divided the students into two groups. They gave us three questions. And those who have to do what those lectures are interested in, whether they are software or hardware or whatever it is, you have to do for the world. And I was giving a lecturer who was lecturing in a web development. That was good for me. But her class finished up 10 p.m. in the night. And I have to get back to the bus station, get the bus home, and by 1 p.m. in the night, I'll be in the house. 1 a.m. in the morning. So it was hard for me. So in the middle of the class, I swapped, and I went to join a different lecture to press advice. And this lecture was a Russian. And I was doing a project to investigate something about the streaming software that had been developed in the Moscow State University. And normally, the group would be three or four people to do a project. But I was giving this course on my own. And it was really hard for me because it was so mathematical. And some of the languages in Russian language, you have to get software to interpret them. So it was really, really hard. And this woman wouldn't help me. So I was stuck in the middle. And I didn't know what to do. And I just figured that I was sick. So I just went on the course. And I didn't continue. I was so scared. So then I stayed home for a whole year. And during this period, my friends committed and left me alone. Those that I used to help them, they were all surprised that I couldn't graduate. I was very sad and stressed out. So during this new year, I went back again. And I finished everything. And I just have to present to this one project alone. And I was hoping that I would go back to this same lecture that was doing the work and development. But when I went, she had changed the course and she was doing something else. So I was giving another supervisor who was interested in doing robotics. And my assignment was how to develop an application that will force a sensor to write up an image, an image pass through a sensor, like the camera in front of your face. If a foreign object passes through the sensor, it lights up to capture the person, beating the person, alert the other cameras in your house, capture the image, stream it to your mobile phone, even if your phone is off, to bring the phone up, ring or call the police or your neighbors, so you have to come in there. See who is there in the house. It was not bad, but it was big, and I was eating on my own. Because this group that I'm joining were my children, and they have all before being into their groups already, so I couldn't join any of them. And I didn't know what to do, so I went to this lecture and I said, please, I want to do something about web development. And he said, well, I don't know anything about web development, so I can't help you, but if you want to do it, I will let you do it. And I have to get this lecture to come and interview you. Because at the end of the project, you have to get a presentation. Then two or three lectures will come and interview you and give you a mark. So I went on my own and I did this project. I was working on a website that can be viewed on any object or any screen size, like a 17-inch screen or mobile phone or 7-inch devices, laptops, and everything. There are some websites when you open them on a mobile phone, you cannot look at them very well. You have to keep finding them up and down before you can do it, and then this will come up. So I'm developing this new application that will allow you to view this website on any device. It will appear the same way as you see the screen. And I want the army to help me. I was able to do the research part of it, 10,000 words, I was able to do it. But the physical application was a bit hard, so my army helped me. And because I wasn't with him every day, he did everything for me, and now the explanation was difficult. I'm not going to face this lecture single people are going to interview me and ask me about this school. And I couldn't explain it. I went to my family to help me, and he couldn't help me because he explained building it. I want me to learn it and explain it myself. And if they see that you got the help from somebody, you're going to fail. So I was just sitting there and I said, Lord, I cannot stay home again for another year. Please help me. I was praying. Then I remember that the day before the interview, the night before the interview, I remember that when I come to church and I do dance, I'm into the spirit and we sing songs and I sing so much. I go home and I lose my voice. I can't talk for 3 days because I'll be shouting. So I said, oh, maybe if I start singing songs, then maybe I'll lose my voice. And when I go for the interview, they say, ah, you see, blessing from me. So I started singing, praising God in the morning. I started singing in my car, shouting, oh Lord, my God! When I'm in the singing of my phone, when I went to the interview. And when I got, my thing was in the afternoon, around 2 o'clock. When I got to the library, I was singing, shouting. I was aware that there was blood in my speech because I was shouting so much. But you believe it, when I got to the interview, my voice was as fresh as possible. I said, my goodness, Lord, I'm done. Today, I'm finished. But God being so good. When I went there, this lecturer who was supposed to come and interview me, the one in charge of webs, but from my friend come. He refused to come. And these two letters there, they didn't know anything about websites. So I did my presentation, it was beautiful, they were so happy. I said, you need it? I said, yeah, let me see. I said, no, you need us fast because it's so much. They are happy, so I'll get first class. I have to go. That lecture was coming. By God's grace, I have completed and I thank God. Everybody has done for me. I want to sing a song for the Lord.
It's wonderful. Brother had the first taste of some reading. It's back in action. I'm sure you're going to enjoy that. Let's be careful because it goes let you see this with your eyes.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.
Some more noise today.
Amen.
And when I say noise, I really mean it, because we really don't know how to sing, and we know that God knows the desire.
Amen.
We present it, the Holy Ghost has presented it to God in a proper way.
Amen.
The song is in French. We sang it once here with twice with Sister Susan. She's not here today, so I sing it to my God. It's called Perfume. Take my life like a flower and let it give a good perfume to your heart.
Soit une œuvre. Was answered. He passed his courses with distinction.
Amen.
So the next wants to thank the Lord after quite a struggle. His car passed NCT. Let's remember, Brother Emil is asking for prayers for his wife. Let's bow. Father, we come unto thee. Even as you've been singing, Father, we come beyond the altar court. We come past, Lord, the sanctuary. And we come to the mercy seat. Father, we come unto you, the tree of life. And Father, we bring our souls unto thee upon this day. We bring our requests before thee, Lord. Father, as we come unto thee who dwells between the cherubim. And Father, we pray that you would speak, Lord, your grace into this situation for Brother Emmy, Lord. For his wife, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we curse the curse upon this land. And we bless her in Jesus' name. May you touch her, Lord, for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the blessing that you've given unto our brother with exams. Father, be glorified, we pray. We thank you, how you've blessed, Lord, concerning Brother Max's car. We thank you, Father, for these things. We thank you that you've given us a chance to come to witness another baptism this day. Bless our sister with your riches and blessings, Lord. And as we go into the waters, Lord, Father, in your precious name. And as you open your word, bless your people, we pray. Guide us aright. Be glorified, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's open Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read from verse 5 up to verse 7. Very familiar scriptures. So we greet everyone this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to see everybody who's gathered in this house by the pillars. Nice to see you. Isaiah 6, verse 5 up to verse 7. The scripture pretty well. Isaiah, when he was in the temple, he was singing about it just now. Touch my lips.
Amen.
Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.
Amen.
For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's a blessing above all other blessings.
Hallelujah.
Let's read Revelation chapter 4 from verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had the face as of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
Amen.
This is what you may be seated since. We just had a certain thought we're looking at and just trying to approach it in different ways, but concerning the house of God.
Hallelujah.
There's so many, like we said last week, there's so many different ministries, there's so many different operations, there's so many different functions in the body of Christ and in the house of God. You know, that sometimes you really struggle to try to find some way to convey. So what is the best way to look at some of these things? And so just this week when I was really waiting upon the Lord, I came just to this conclusion once again that sometimes the Lord, the way he does things in the Bible, it's quite incredible. He gives us different shadows, he gives us different types, and some of them are very rich.
Amen.
For example, let's say we look at creation. The Lord in creation just takes two chapters to explain to us the creation, the heavens and the earth, the fall of man. But if we go and have a look at the tabernacle, the sanctuary, we find the Lord devoted 50 chapters to it.
50 Amen.
Chapters. And then you know, when I started to look at that once again, I started to see, but in this tabernacle is everything. Now the Lord has put so many things inside of it. The first thing it starts with, how did they build the tabernacle? You know, I suppose we also have our desire, our ambition, we desire a place to worship ourselves. So, you know, we could get into that. That's one avenue you can take. You'll see through the free will offerings of the sons and daughters of God. You know, you'll find that was one of the things which they did. In the tabernacle, you can find finances. You find tithes, you find offerings, you find building fund, all of those different things.
Amen.
In order to build and to repair the upkeep of the house of God, you'll find those things inside of there. You know, so that's really explained very well. You find different offices being explained. You find the trustees. If you go and have a look in the tabernacle, you'll find that even in the moving of the tabernacle, the people that were responsible for the various parts of the tabernacle, you had the Kohathites, you had the three sons of Aaron. They were given a portion, the Gershomites, I think the Merarites. There were three of them. One would carry the curtains of the tabernacle, the other one would carrying the different furniture, you know, the mercy seat and so forth. So you find different people responsible for different things, which just reminds me of something what it announced, that you know, people have a responsibility on different things in the house of God. We just ask the saints if they could possibly just leave the sound equipment just to the trustees to adjust.
Amen.
We've had a lot of trouble on Wednesday and Friday with sound. So the way sound is set up on a Sunday, no matter who comes on a Wednesday or Friday, please, let it be the trustees. Let them be responsible to keep the sound. Because if one person sets it right and somebody else tries to adjust it, you know, I know we all have good intentions to do those things, but it does sometimes cause quite a problem, as it did on Friday. So you would find that in the tabernacle as well, each of, even within the Levites. No, not everybody was there to minister before the Lord. You had the priesthood under the Levites. But then under the Levites also, you had, like I said, the sons of Aaron that had just like those tasks of looking after the actual equipment, the building itself.
Amen.
But each of them knew within their own subdivision what they were responsible for. That, but this one, like I said, was for the curtains, and this one is responsible for the poles and, you know, the different things, and the other one for the sacred vessel. So there's a lot of things if you look inside of there. There's also the music ministry. You know, there were certain Levites responsible for music.
Amen.
There were the sons of Korah. You find that they had different psalms that David would write, and these things were to be sung by the sons of whoever they were. In other words, the different types of ministries and ministrations in the house of the Lord. And then when you get into the tabernacle, we find also there's so many spiritual truths. And there's so many mysteries. Because Moses was told, you make the tabernacle after the heavenly pattern. So this was an earthly manifestation of spiritual truth. So there was so much spiritual truth inside of there. And that's why you find Paul, when he became a believer, he meets Christ on the way to Damascus. He goes 3 years into Arabia, to the desert. And he goes now and he's dividing the grace, law from grace. And what does he come out with in the book of Hebrews? He's taking the tabernacle. He's showing the priesthood. He's showing this greater now. This Melchizedek. The Melchizedek priesthood. And then he goes and shows the different vessels and so forth. And he brings them and applies them in his age. And so you find there's so, so much of that. You find the prophet when he came. And once the third pool opened, 1959, the spoken word. Then he came 1960, and he starts off with the revelation of Jesus Christ. He already enters now into this unveiling of God. What does he start off with? It's the church ages, which is the candlesticks, you know, and Revelation chapter 1, and then Revelation chapter 2, 3, you know, which is the church ages, which is the candlesticks. And then he gets into the seals. And what are the seals? It's the cherubim around the throne. Mm-hmm. Now the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And you find those there in the tabernacle. So you find everything unfolds. We saw that Friday night at the prayer meeting. You'll find Revelations chapter 8, the golden altar.
Amen.
And the angel offering incense on the golden altar. Mm-hmm. Then you get to the trumpets and you go on and you find all this different symbolism inside of the Revelations 15, the judgment, the vials, the sanctuary smoking now. Nobody can enter into the sanctuary. You know, so it's really something where the Lord put, just within those chapters on the tabernacle, he really put a lot of truth inside of it.
Right.
And that's how the prophet was a typologist, because he would take those things, those shadows and those types, and he would bring them into present tense to show in heavenly places the spiritual reality of what those things signify. And that's the power of a type, that's the power of a shadow, is that you can take something which is quite an easy thing to present to somebody, quite an easy thing for a person to look at and to understand, but then there's layers of revelation, there's an unveiling of revelation behind that, you know, inside of that. That's why I put some slides. Let me just give you an example once again, just to show how applicable this is. We just want to have a look today at the cherubim. And there's a specific purpose that you want to have a look at that. But if you go to the first slide, I don't know if this is working, if we could. But if you look at the tabernacle, yes, if you go down, please, if you could. You find it comes from, up, please. Yeah, this one down. Sorry for the first one. Up. Thanks.
It's the computer.
But if you have a look, if you get to the sanctuary, you'll find the door to the sanctuary was on the east. And the prophet says, why? Because Christ always comes from the east. And if you wanted to come in the beginning of your walk with God, if you wanted to walk with God, where do you start from? You started the rising of the sun.
Amen.
And when you separated from God, you're walking in darkness. At the time now when the sun starts to rise in the east on your experience, the light starts to shine upon your path, and you start to think about yourself. You start to think about sin. You start to think about your own spiritual condition.
Imagine.
Just turn it off while you do that, President. Thanks. So you start to think about your own spiritual condition. So the very gate for you to enter in, the very door to come
Hallelujah.
In, was on the east.
Thank you, Lord.
And then the Shekinah glory, when you came to the mercy seat where he who dwelt in the midst between the cherubim dwelt, he, the person of eternal life himself, he was in the west. And there was the pillar of fire, and there was the cloud in the west. No, so you would start in the east, and then you would go, then you would meet him in the west. And the prophet says the same thing. He says, when the gospel came like that, it came from the east. And then it came through Luther, and then it crossed the English Channel, and it came across to Wesley. Then it came to the west, and then to America. And then the prophet was told, go west. And there was the cloud, and there was the purifier in the west. No, so in that slide, if you manage to get it up, but it shows the cross. Which
Hallelujah.
Is the brazen altar, is Christ dying for us. He died for us in the east.
Amen.
But then we have to go all the way to the west, to the cloud, to come to full redemption, to come
Hallelujah.
To what God has been leading his people step by step, from the east to the west. So everything that you'll find in this tabernacle, it really, really had this significance. The prophet says in Hidden Life in Christ, we've read this before, he says, if you would look at the furniture and so forth, that was placed in those places. If you come to the yard, that's it. So we're going from the east and we're going to the west. And in the west, in the most holy place, there was the pillar of fire, there was the pillar of cloud. Mm. And as we're moving through, if you go to the next one, the prophet says, this furniture represents the dispensations, he says, that we have lived in since the dark ages. So this is, I will restore, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Just as much as in your own life when you live in the dark ages and you're coming out of darkness, you're coming out of your ignorance,
Hallelujah.
Your Catholicism like Luther was.
Thank you, Lord.
Then God has a process that he takes people through to
Amen.
Bring you out of darkness to full restoration.
Yes, Lord.
To bring you from Luther, who was the brazen altar.
Amen.
And just shall live by faith. Wesley was the labor, sanctification with the priesthood was washed. Then you'd be anointed to enter into the sanctuary itself. Then you get into Pentecost, the
Amen.
Restoration of the gifts. And then you come to the final veil and you're going within the most holy place where the pillar of fire himself
Hallelujah.
Is dwelling
Amen.
Between the cherubim
Amen.
And you're coming now to adoption.
Mm.
Listen, that's the process. The prophet says the dispensations we have lived in since the dark age, the coming out of the church and the continuation of its journey. So one thing straight away you find in here is that God's work in your life is progressive.
Amen.
There's got to be continuation
yes,
Amen.
With you. And you'll find as you're going through this, we'll say this now, there's a real, real continuation in this.
Mm.
And what is the aim that he has? He's wanting to bring us from our darkness. If you're outside of this sanctuary, if you were living in Moab or among the Ammonites, whatever, you were separated from God. You were separated from the covenant of promises. You are separated from his presence, from his blessing. And if you wanted to come now, you had to come and seek him.
Amen.
So he would start to work inside of your soul like he did with Ruth.
Mm.
And there'd be a deep, the deep that was inside of the sanctuary would call you because no man can
Amen.
Come unto me unless my father calls him first.
Amen.
So there'd be something would be calling and you'd have to come now and you'd have to, the first thing that should come to you, if you go to the next one, brother, the very first thing you'd come to is this gate
Amen.
With its four pillars, the four gospels. Now, this represents Christ.
Amen.
And there's only one gate, like I said, to the east.
Amen.
God only has one provided way for entrance.
Amen.
And the sooner we would realize that inside of our lives, we'd really have a lot less problems.
Amen.
Amen.
God said, come out from among them and be separate.
Amen.
That's God's only provided way.
Amen.
And God says, do not be unequally yoked together.
Amen.
That's God's provided way. You may think you have a better way. You know, you may think you understand things better than him, but you're going to learn, and all of us learn obedience by the things that we suffer.
Hallelujah.
That God's way is the correct way.
Yes,
Amen.
This is the only way. So God only had one way. And this gate, with these curtains that were hanging at the gate, those curtains were made of fine linen. And the prophet says, we know that's the righteousness of the saints.
Amen.
So this is a place, and all around the tabernacle is pure white linen. Which speaks of righteousness.
Amen.
Now, what is righteousness? What does righteousness mean to us? For a person to be righteous doesn't mean you're perfect.
Amen.
Humanly speaking.
Amen.
To be righteous means you've met the requirements of
Hallelujah.
God.
Amen.
You've met the divine requirements. So when we meet the divine requirements, we're righteous before God.
Thank you, Lord.
Our sister is coming to baptize today. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've met a divine requirement.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you now come to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've met a divine requirement. And God counts that as righteousness.
Amen.
That's what Jesus says when he went into the waters of baptism, when John said, no, you should be baptizing me. He said, suffer it to be so. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
We need to meet the requirements of the Lord. And friends, there was only one spotless righteous one, is Christ.
Amen.
So it's only in Christ that we find righteousness. You're never going to meet the demands of God outside there.
Amen.
Among the pagans and the heathens and in the unbelief of the nations round and about, you had to come God's provided way. So you had to approach him through this one door. And this door, fine linen, had three colors. It had blue, it had scarlet, it had purple. And the prophet tells us blue stands for faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
They call someone a true blue. They say,
amen.
It's speaking of the faithfulness of Christ.
Amen.
His dependability. Then the scarlet speaks of his blood.
Yes, sir.
Remember the prophet had the vision of the scarlet streak around the earth when he wanted to condemn that woman that day in the cafe?
That's right.
And the Lord showed him now the scarlet streak of the blood of Christ around the earth. And then the purple speaks of his majesty.
Amen.
Speaks of Christ's majesty. And so to someone who's in darkness, that's the first thing that's going to be portrayed to you. As the sun rises in the east and shines upon that, that's the first thing that you're going to see when you're coming out of the darkness. You're going to see Christ, his sufferings and his glory.
Amen.
And friends, it's not just the glory of Christ that attracts people, it's his sufferings. It's the scarlet, it's his blood, it's his shedding of blood. That is the balm of Gilead to a soul who's seeking.
Amen.
That's the real balm of Gilead. When you're under conviction of sin and there's a heaviness and you're under condemnation day by day, our friend, that is the cure.
Hallelujah.
It's the scarlet. It's
Amen.
Amen.
But it speaks of Christ, it speaks of his sufferings, it speaks of his glory, it speaks of his faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
And to anybody who's ordained unto life, the moment the light shines upon that, in your time of visitation, something takes place in you.
Amen. Amen.
It starts to bring something out of you. And it starts to bring out a desire that you want to go deeper in the holy place.
Amen.
You know, this is something that's happening to you. So you enter in through Christ.
Hallelujah.
And come straight now to the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar speaks of God's judgment of sin.
Right.
So you have to come. You have to lay your hands upon the sacrifice.
Amen.
You've got to confess your sins upon the head of the lamb. You've got to press your hands down the weight of sin. And then as soon as you confess your sin, the animal was slain. The blood was shed. There was a transference of your guilt of sin onto the animal, and it died immediately. Then it was offered on the burnt, on the brazen altar. Speaking of God's judgment for sin.
Amen.
But as we said on Friday, you don't want to stay in that realm for too long. This is the brazen vessels. This is the realm of judgment. You know, you don't want to be coming to the house of the Lord every week, every service, and the word is just judgment to you all the time.
Amen.
It shows you're living in the wrong place.
Amen.
If the word is always judging you, word is always coming to you, you know, knock at your door concerning the things that you're doing, you need to come
Hallelujah.
Into the holy place.
Amen.
Because you don't want to be there. So then you come from there now, the priesthood, they would go now, before they came for service, they would come to the laver, the brazen laver. That was made out of the myrrhs. Remember when they were looking for the material, how to make the laver, it was the women of Israel gave up their looking glasses. Because they were made out of polished brass in those days, they didn't have glass. And they would polish that brass, and the woman would be vain, and they'd be looking at themselves in the mirror. And then when they came now into the presence of the Lord, they started now to look in another mirror.
Amen.
It's like us, we start looking in the mirror of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they started to realize it's not so important what we think about ourselves, but it's more important what He thinks.
Amen.
Amen.
And now in type, they gave up those mirrors and they gave them now to Moses.
Hallelujah.
And they melted those brazen mirrors down and they made them the brazen altar.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that type's a mirror. Because the priests would come before they go into service. They would come now to the brazen laver. And it's like us, we're looking in the waters of the Word.
Amen.
You know, we're not speaking about the judgment of sin. Your sins are under the blood, but there's the defilement that you pick up in the journey.
Mm.
Certain thoughts and certain attitudes and certain things that you go through during the day. And you want it now to come into His presence. You want it to come into your heavenly places. You want it to come to the place that you can minister before the Lord. But first, you've got to look in the waters of the Word.
Amen.
And you've got to wash away the defilement that you picked up. They would wash their feet. They would wash themselves, the priests, before they could go now into the sanctuary itself.
Mm.
And that's the place that you want to be.
Amen.
Is in the sanctuary.
Amen.
But the moment you wanted to come to the sanctuary, go to the next slide, you're going to find there's another curtain now.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get into the most holy place, there's another veil.
Hallelujah.
Veil.
Right.
Mm.
So there's three veils.
Mm.
There's the gate to the court, the outer court, for you to enter in. Then there's the door to the sanctuary itself. And then there's the veil before the holy place.
Amen.
And each of these is made of exactly the same material.
Mm. Amen.
Exactly the same dimensions in square meters.
Mm.
And exactly the same colors. So that each of these things represents exactly the same thing.
Amen.
Amen.
And what is it saying to us? If you want to go deeper, Christ is the answer.
Amen.
You don't need something new.
Amen.
You don't need anything new. If you're in Christ today, you don't need anything new.
Amen.
You just need a deeper portion.
Amen.
You just need to go deeper in the same thing that you've already got.
Amen.
Because when you came to that first curtain before you came into the brazen altar, that's coming in through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But now you get to a stage, you don't want to worship from afar. You don't want distant worship. You want to come into intimacy.
Amen.
You want to come away from just being judged all the time.
Amen.
You want to enter into the place where it's all gold.
Mm.
Where there's the golden candlestick. Where there's the golden altar. Where there's the table of showbread made of gold with a crown around it. You want to come into this place now, which is the place of service.
Mm.
This is the place that you're entering into heavenly places. So you need to come through another veil.
Amen.
And then if it gets to the stage now, as it does with every single one of us, you want to go deeper than that.
Amen.
There's another place that you want to get to. You want to get right to the place where He Himself
Amen.
You're going to have to go through a veil exactly the same as the other one. The same color signifying exactly the same thing.
Hallelujah.
So it's not something new that we need. Remember when David came that day?
Mm-hmm.
And here was Goliath making his boast. David didn't need anything new. He didn't. Saul wanted to give him something new.
Mm.
And said, no, put on my armor. Then you can go and fight against this great giant. But David, he tried it on and said, I don't need any like this. You just needed a deeper anointing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The same spirit is fellowshipping with down there in the green pastures by the still waters. The same one that had come upon him when he was anointed by the prophets to the throne. He just needed a deeper anointing. And that's what there was the first pull. The second pull, the third pull, it's not a different anointing. It's just a deeper portion of the same anointing.
Amen.
The prophet says the third pull is that super anointing.
Hallelujah.
But it was the same anointing which you had received in the first and second pull.
Mm.
But you're just progressing deeper and deeper now in your calling with God. Because that's what He wants us to do. It's got to be progressive. That's always the desire. The prophet says in countdown, the church is just moving up.
Mm.
Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost that we justified by.
Mm.
So at the brazen altar, that was a portion of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That was Christ dealing with you as you came through that first came to the court.
Mm-hmm.
That was an experience with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, if you don't start with the supernatural experience,
amen.
Yes, sir.
You can never, as we said on Friday, if you're not called, you'll be defeated.
Amen.
There's got to be something like the prophet says that backs you up.
Amen.
And when you just can't take it anymore, there's got to be the comforter.
Amen.
There's got to be the helper. There's got to be the one that comes and helps you to lift the burden. There's got to be the quickening power that comes to quicken you and your
Amen.
In the light of duty when you don't know what to do. There's got to be something to give you the supernatural wisdom. There's got to be something to shine light upon the next step that you need to take. Otherwise, friends, you'll go down like the prophet says.
Amen.
You go down as quickly as anything. But you don't want to stay in the same place.
No.
As a believer, you don't want to be relying on last year's experience. You
Amen.
Be, no, I thank the Lord 10 years ago, this and that happened. That's fine, but what about now?
Amen.
Amen.
What about a progression? What about a deeper something Amen. That He has in store for us?
Amen.
The prophet says it's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. You ministers know that. It's the Holy Ghost that sanctifies us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you came to the brazen labor, what was that typing? The sanctification, when you've been washed. When the Holy Ghost is getting in the Word.
Mm.
Yeah. And you're being washed by the waters of the Word. And the Word is being quickened to you.
Amen.
It does something to you.
That's right.
That's what the brazen labor is. You are being sent on the prophet. And it's the washing of the waters of the Word.
Amen.
It's very important for the priesthood. You couldn't enter into priestly service. To go and minister before the Lord in your holy calling.
Mm.
Within the sanctuary. Unless you are first washed.
Amen.
That's why every one of us needs ministration.
Mm.
Ministers need to be ministered to.
Mm.
We
Amen.
All need to be washed.
Amen.
And that's why God gives us the message of the hour.
Amen.
Amen.
God gave us the ideal, the pure water, the waters of separation for this age to be washed by. Now the prophet speaks of the different experiences he had. Like when he first came in, it was in the coal shed. But that was an experience.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I was so burdened. I didn't know how to put my hands. I didn't know how to pray. So I just knelt and I said, Mr. God, He says, oh, if you can hear me, I'm so sorry for the things that I've done. And He says, and something happened.
Hallelujah.
And He says, and I looked and that light came down in the form of a cross and something spoke to me. He says, and when it spoke to me, the burden lifted from me.
Yeah.
He says, I did not express it. He said, in that old corn shed.
Mm.
So I went out to the railway line and I went hopping and skipping and jumping along
Amen.
The railway line because that was the only way that I could express the way that I felt.
Mm.
That I felt light.
Mm.
The burden had been taken away. And then, friends, he needed to go deeper. He needed to meet him in the spring street.
Mm.
When the angel came down as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent to forerun the second coming.
Amen.
He needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he needed to be in the cave and he needs to meet the angel.
That's right.
He needs to be commissioned to go forth. And then he needs Sunset Mountain to come into his adoption. So there's a progression all the time.
Amen.
A progression that is wanting to take people deeper and deeper. The prophet says God adds gifts, He doesn't take away.
Amen.
He said, you'll be sincere, He'll just keep taking you higher, He'll take
Amen.
You higher,
Amen.
Take you deeper.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In your calling.
Amen.
I mean, with the way that we are made, because our souls are immortal.
Amen.
An immortal soul is never going to be satisfied.
Amen. Amen.
Your soul will never be fully satisfied.
Amen.
It's always going to want something more.
Amen.
And God is eternal. He's infinite.
Hmm.
Yeah. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. And we have an immortal soul inside of us. Our friends, you're never ever going to be a come to a stage that you're going to drink enough and say, now I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to say, but surely there's more.
That's right.
No matter how glorious His Word may be to you, that He unfolds to you, next week you're going to want to get deeper.
Mm.
You're going to want to speak more to yourself. And
Amen.
That's the way that it's going to be. Because we're in a pilgrimage.
Mm.
No, we're in traveling through a wilderness land. That's where this tabernacle was, the sanctuary was. It was surrounded by wilderness to show the people this world is not my home.
Mm-hmm.
And that you follow the pillar of fire and pitch it from place to place.
Hallelujah.
So, but the one difference when you have a look at these three curtains, as we get into this realm now, if you go to the next one, sister, it's the cherubim.
Mm.
Everywhere you look, when you enter into the sanctuary itself, you find the cherubim.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find the cherubim out there at the gate. Mm-hmm. You don't find the cherubim at the brazen altar. You don't find the cherubim at the laver. But it's once you enter into the sanctuary. This is the place now that you start to find the
cherubim.
Amen.
And this is going to show us something. Who are these cherubim? Let's look at Revelation 4 again. Just for those people that are new. You find that that's the inner veil. And even the roof within the sanctuary has your golden candlesticks and has your showbread. No matter where you look in this realm, in order for you to move to adoption, you need these cherubim. Without these cherubim, there's no adoption. You cannot have adoption without the cherubim. And that's what the sanctuary is going to show us here. Revelation 4, verse 6. You don't have to put it on there, I'll just read it. Around about the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts, four living creatures, four cherubim, full of eyes before and behind that, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle.
Amen.
The prophet says, who are these? It says, these are the throne gods. These are the gods of the mercy seat. Nobody comes to the mercy seat without passing through this cherubim. He says, these are the guardians of the covenant. That's what they are. So for you and I to come to full redemption, for the full expression of the covenant inside of our lives, our full inheritance, oh, friends, we're not going to do it just through denominational ways and denominational means or your own ideas or your own thinking, your own human programs that originated in the mind of man or woman. That disqualifies you. God has a way.
Amen.
And for someone to be ushered into the sanctuary, and for someone to be ushered to the mercy seat itself, to come right to adoption in the presence of the Shekinah, God had to send the cherubim.
Amen.
Because there was no way that you could come without the cherubim. You put the next slide. This is a question that you ask many, many times. But the tabernacle shows us very clearly now the difference between salvation and redemption.
Amen.
Anybody could come to the brazen altar. Rahab could come to the brazen altar. She wasn't even of the 12 tribes. Ruth could come. Obviously became proselyte. They had to go through a process first, obviously. But anybody could come to the brazen altar. But not anybody could come inside of here.
Amen.
This was for the tithing of the people.
Yes.
This was for the priesthood. Those were ordained to stand as priests in the age.
Amen.
To come into here, you had to be elected.
Amen.
You had to be separated by God Himself.
Amen.
You had to be called. And let's be honest, when Aaron and his sons wanted to come in before they could go in, what happened? They had to meet the prophet.
Amen.
And Moses met them at the door, and Moses had to anoint them. And Moses had to wash them.
Amen.
And Moses had to put on the holy apparel.
Amen.
To clothe them for the service. Oh, friends, so we're going to see now why denominationalism passes away.
That's right.
That doesn't mean people can't be saved.
Yes.
Listen to this quote that the prophet says in Questions and Answers, question 53. 1964, August the 23rd, he says, many of the questions here, will the bride, will this, the church? He said, will the bride go through the tribulation? That's the question. You can't divide what they are. So the bride and the church is going to divide it here. The bride is the elected of God. The church goes through tribulation. That's the one that it says, whosoever will, let him come.
Amen.
Not everybody is, everybody is entitled to whosoever will, let him come.
Amen.
Anybody can come here under conviction and condemnation and find salvation, find forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Any person out there today, no matter where they are, if they bow down on their knees,
amen,
they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean they'll be redeemed. Because unless they elect, unless they're predestined, and unless the cherubim are sent to them, they ain't going to get any further than that.
Amen.
Amen.
They may come to the brazen altar outside here. You could come and be sanctified. You can come. People live a good, justified, and sanctified life. But they're not yet redeemed. They're not yet fully redeemed. Listen how the prophet explains it. And who is this Melchizedek? He's speaking of Melchizedek. And then he speaks of theophanies now. And that's what we'll get into. The tabernacle shows us about who has theophanies and who doesn't.
Amen.
And it's a very interesting thought.
Hallelujah.
Not everybody has theophanies.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Not everybody in the new heavens and the new earth is going to be exactly the same.
Amen.
The people living in the city are going to live under different dispensations.
Yes, sir.
Outside of the city.
Yes, sir.
Outside the city, people will sleep. People will build. People will plant. People will grow.
Amen.
There'll be day and night.
Yes, sir.
But inside of the city, they have no need of
life. Hallelujah. Amen.
So there's a certain people that have been admitted within. These are the predestined.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
These are his attributes.
Hallelujah.
These are those. You have your theophany.
Amen.
Can we hear your theophany calling?
Amen.
That's what the prophet's speaking about. It's going to show us a difference between someone being saved, who comes in at the white throne, and those people that are elected, predestined, will be in the millennium.
Amen.
Will be sharing in the kingdom of David. We'll be ruling and reigning with him. There's a great difference.
Yeah, that's right.
And people get confused. I was speaking to one brother who's not from here last week. The saint was confused. He says, but it seems like we have to do this, that, and the other. But the Bible says salvation is free. And I kept on saying, no. Salvation and redemption are two different things.
Amen.
Keep it right. You don't have to do anything for salvation except to believe on him.
Who
paid the price for you.
Thank you, Lord.
But for redemption, which is adoption, it's now your behavior.
Amen. Amen.
It's you walking with him as he
moves. Amen.
And he sends the tutor, he sends the cherubim to you. In our age, he sends the eagle to us.
Amen.
And the eagle is there now to prepare us.
Amen.
And to bring us and to usher us to the tree of
Hallelujah. Christ,
to the mercy seat, which is our adoption. So there's a big difference. He said, and then who's this Melchizedek? He says, now we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives. Speaking about the offerings and our callings. In journey, in death, and where we go after we die. We don't all go to the same place after we die. Some people go to the regions of the Lord. But even people who are saved, they don't go to the same place
Amen.
When they die.
Amen.
You'll find that in the tabernacle. Because many people ask that question as well. To say, no, my grandmother was a Christian. My grandfather was a Christian. They died. They didn't believe the message. Where do they go? They have their place. Because they were saved. But they're not going to go to the same place as where the prophet was.
Amen.
When he was gathered with his people.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
There's a difference, the place that
Hallelujah.
We see it sometime as we get into it. The prophet says now, predestination is in plain view here. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption.
Yes.
Amen.
We know that. But it's very true.
Amen.
It doesn't make you any better than anybody else.
Amen.
It just makes you different.
Amen.
Because God's people are a peculiar people.
Amen.
They're a royal priesthood. They are holy people. Isaiah never chose God.
No.
God called him from his mother's womb.
Amen.
Jeremiah never chose to be a prophet. God says, I ordained you a prophet from your mother's womb.
Amen.
To be a prophet to the nations. When he said, I can't speak, he says, how can you say you can't speak? Even before you were born, I ordained you to be what you are. That's redemption. That's God's calling. That's how he calls. And when he calls, there's going to be some power to come to help you to come to the fullness of your calling.
Amen.
And if you want to make life easy for yourself and easy for the Lord, the prophet says, you just yield yourself to that.
Amen.
Amen.
When he sends this cherub, when he releases something in your age,
Amen.
When something comes forth from the mercy seat, from his throne, and reaches out to his sons and daughters to bring them back to the throne.
Amen.
Our friends, all you got to do is yield yourself. All you got to do is submit yourself. that the great enemy is leaning on your own understanding.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Thinking we know better. You don't know better.
Yes, sir.
He knows better.
Amen.
We saw on Friday, we don't even know how to pray as we ought.
Amen.
He has to send an unction and an anointing to us. To teach us how to pray.
Amen.
To pray things the right way, because we don't even know how to pray. We don't know the future. We don't know what the future holds. But He does. And God is never going to leave the souls of His sons and His daughters to themselves. Never. That's where preservation and election comes in. The prophet says, did you get it? He says, let me say that again. The predestinated is the only ones that's considered in redemption. People might be making like or think that they are. You gotta look on YouTube. Go and see all the great claims of the charismatics. Go and see all these great things, and they're anointed people.
That's right.
And how many of them are prophesying about this election? I'm watching carefully.
Amen.
So many of them are prophesying Donald Trump's going to be president. I'm watching. Because I'll be very surprised myself. But there came an eagle anointing from the throne.
Amen.
And the message.
Hallelujah.
That's why you and I will watch all those other things. Because, ah, that's interesting. Okay, what do these people say? But it'll never satisfy your soul.
Amen.
Amen.
Because that's not your portion.
Amen.
That's not the portion of the elect. God's portion comes forth from the throne.
Yes.
To meet you where you are, to bring you back to where you came from.
Hallelujah.
The prophet says that explains to us the secret of our lives in this journey, in life, in death, in where we go to. We have a body already waiting for us, a tabernacle in the heavens. He speaks about that. He says people might be making like or think that they are. But the real redemption is those that are predestinated. Because the very word redeem means to bring back.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said,
amen.
I came from God.
Hallelujah.
And I go back to God.
Yes, sir.
And he prayed, Father, restore me to the glory that I had with you before the foundation.
Amen.
Oh, friends. That's how you'll find when you get to the sanctuary, that's for Aaron and his sons.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Christ is the greater than Aaron, and we his sons.
Amen.
Aaron is a type of Christ. But it's not only him, it's him and his sons.
Yes.
It's not only Aaron that could go right into the Shekinah presence to partake of the tree of life. It was his sons.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
When Aaron went off the scene, his sons now, they were ordained unto such. And God made a provision for them. The prophet says to redeem something is to bring it back to its original place.
Right.
So it's only the predestinated will be brought back.
Amen.
Because the others didn't come from there. You see, to bring it back. But God in His grace, He makes the plan of salvation.
Amen.
It's just whosoever will. God is not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
But all should come unto Him. But God knows the names of the elect.
Amen.
He recorded them before the foundation.
Hallelujah.
And that's what He's reserved them for. So, these cherubim. Let's read Isaiah chapter 6. Just to get an idea. What are these cherubim?
Amen.
That scripture. That
Hallelujah.
Isaiah chapter 6. Now you think of Isaiah while we turn there. Isaiah was ordained a prophet.
Amen.
But he wasn't yet in the right spiritual foundation. He was predestined to be a prophet. But he was looking at the wrong king. He was looking at King Uzziah. The prophet said he was having an even easy life in the temple because he was leaning on the arm of the king.
Yes, sir.
Many of us saints, we grew up on the wrong system.
Amen.
There's Uzziahs in this message as well, saints.
Lots of them.
Be careful.
Lots of
people are looking to men. Don't
yes, sir.
Any man
in this Amen.
We're not. The elect are not to look to any man.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Outside of the message.
Hallelujah.
God sent us the eagle. That's all that we need.
That's enough.
We respect every minister. We respect the fivefold ministry. We made it clear the other day. We respect those that are in the Lord before us. We learn from them. We must do that. But friends, don't make the same mistake as Isaiah and put your eyes on a man.
Amen.
And put your hope in a man.
Yes, sir.
Don't do that.
Hallelujah.
You will be disappointed.
My.
Because the moment you start lifting a man up,
oh,
God in this bride has to smite him down.
Amen.
God
Hallelujah.
Shame, glory with
Amen.
And it's the people, the prophet says many times,
yes,
moves
the people
minister out of his position.
Amen.
By making him something that God didn't make him.
Hallelujah.
We have 8 messengers now.
Oh my.
Big ministers now in the message. Yeah. Shocking, friends.
Amen.
That many people listen to. But now they call themselves 8 ministers.
My.
And the church sings about them.
Hey.
Shame.
Sir. Amen.
Sir.
Shame. Amen.
Oh my.
You should never do that.
Amen.
You're making the same mistake as Isaiah.
Yes, sir.
He's setting your eyes at the wrong level.
Amen.
You need to come up higher to set your
Hallelujah.
Eyes at the right level.
Amen.
And it says that in Isaiah 6 verse 1. What had to happen to him before he could come to his predestination? Uzziah had to die. And sometimes there's certain influences we have to die to.
Amen.
Before we see the real king.
Amen.
Before we come to our real commission.
Amen.
Because we've set our eyes on mortality. You can't set your eyes on mortality.
Amen.
Friends, we don't set our eyes on the prophet. We set our eyes on the ministry of the Son of Man, which worked through the prophet.
Amen.
It was the ministry. The prophet wasn't Elijah physically. He had the ministry, the spirit of Elijah.
Amen.
So we don't, when we lift up the prophet, we're not lifting him up his mortality.
Amen.
It's his ministry.
Hallelujah.
It's his predestined calling, his purpose that he was sent to.
Amen.
It's what he was in the mind of God.
Hallelujah.
The foundation of the world. It's the importance that God used that man for his bride, for his elect's sake. That's what we focus on. Yes. And friends, you can never separate a man from his ministry.
Yes, that's right.
You learn so much from the prophet's life story.
Amen.
From when he was hunting, from the things that he said, the things that he did. So many lessons the Lord taught him, which now came into the message of the hour, was just in his everyday life. And that's why it's very profitable to read those kind of things.
Hallelujah.
But friends, we don't lift up the man.
Amen. No,
there's only one man that should be lifted up.
Hallelujah.
But friends, we esteem the prophet.
Amen.
Because outside of that cherubim anointing that God put inside of that man, outside of this ministry that has come forth from the throne, God commissioning and sending the prophet forward in that ministry, there's no way that any of us can come to adoption.
That's right.
It's impossible. You can never come to full redemption unless that anointing from the throne comes forth. And God's
Amen.
Anointing doesn't just work through the air.
No.
God has put himself in partnership with man.
Amen.
So God has bound himself together.
Amen.
And he said, I'll send you the seventh angel. And if he says, I'll send you the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be completed.
Amen.
Friends, how are we ever going to get anywhere if we don't accept it?
Amen.
How are we going to get anywhere if we don't accept that?
That's right.
When he says, Elijah shall come and restore all things.
Amen.
How are we ever going to come to full restoration? Until we accept that.
Amen.
My friends, the people in the denominations, they want all the miracles of the prophet, the first and second food. But the real purpose was sent for, which was the third, but they don't want it. Which was to restore
Amen.
The altar and to turn the hearts of the people. They don't want that. They just want the miracles. They want to send the rain, let fire come down from heaven, and those kind of things. Yeah, that's why those kind of, they need those kind of things. But the real thing that satisfies the souls of the elect is the message.
That's right.
It's the message that came forth. Mm. It's what that anointing of the eagle said.
Mm.
That's the thing. Because what that anointing said is going to usher us all the way. So we can now start to see the same things that the prophet saw. Because when he followed that anointing through, and he followed what that anointing was telling to him, it ministered him all the way through the tree of life himself. So what about us? That same message, saints, that same message. That's why you can't add to or take away. That's why Joshua was told, don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Meditate therein night and day. Don't add to it.
Amen.
Don't take away. Don't diminish fault from it.
Amen.
And when people look and they say, but the prophet lived 50, 60 years ago. He didn't understand modern conditions.
Mm-hmm.
He understood it far better than you.
Yes.
That's right. The prophet was always speaking of things that hadn't yet happened.
Amen.
He would speak about, look at the filth they're putting on television in 1962, They hadn't put anything on television
That's
by 1962.
Amen.
It was in the 1970s they started That's kissing right. and doing those kind of things. But the prophet would preach it like that.
Amen.
The prophet says, a prophet sees the shadow coming.
Amen.
He sees the darkness before it gets there. Because God raised him up and he sees it as the eagle. And he cries out against it even before it gets there. Then he comes down like Noah, prophesying of something which is going to happen 120 years' time. And people look and say, but it hasn't come to pass. That's got nothing to do with it. From the dimension that God raises the man to, it's a substance. The future to God is the same as the present, is the same as the past. God doesn't have a future. Everything is substance and real to him. So when you're raised up into that dimension, things to come will be real to you.
Hallelujah.
If they are now. Because faith is a substance, it's an evidence. And that's how Noah, when he went up into that dimension, he had a substance. It was so real because God took him like John was taken into the day of the Lord, the Lord's day.
Yes.
Yeah. 2,000 years into the future, John was brought into our time.
Yeah.
And he saw the things. And it wasn't like the prophet says, the vision isn't like a television set. He says, you're there.
Amen.
You're actually there. It's a place of substance. How can you wonder, is this real? Is this a vision? Where am I now? And Noah would have come to that place. God took him to the place that he saw judgment. And it was a sense, it was so real to him.
Amen.
That's how when he came down from there and came to his people, there was an anointing upon that man.
Yes.
There was a reality and a substance that man had. It wasn't intellectual something.
No.
It was a reality. That's why it says, by faith, Noah, being moved by fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house.
Amen.
Oh, there's something about that dimension. But that's when God takes the eagles and he puts them, the prophets, in that dimension. And then they come down and they say, Los Angeles is going to sink. And people will blaspheme and people will say all manner of things. But to them that have an ear to hear, to them that are watchful, like this week we saw it again, that those scientists have found out now that San Francisco has got a big fault line for it.
Amen.
Los Angeles has the San Andreas Fault. And they thought, okay, those are bad enough. But they just found out there's a bridge connecting those two. Just now they found it. And that makes it twice as bad as they originally thought.
Amen.
Amen.
Because there's this bridge linking the two now. When the anointing came on the prophet and he spoke that whole city of the angels and so forth, the prophet didn't know anything about plate tectonics, didn't know anything about the something out of there.
Right.
But that eagle anointing upon the man knew the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's why I speak of those things. And he said, go plumb back to the salt and sea. That great chunk of land will sink in there. And the more they're investigating now, the more they're studying it, the more they're seeing it for themselves. That's absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth. It's becoming more and more clear. And I believe that with the entire message. Many things you don't understand, but just wait on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And see how it becomes
clear. Amen.
See how the Lord starts to make it clear. See how things start falling in place. Watch the King of the North. Russia's in Syria.
Amen.
Russian troops are just a few miles from the border of Israel, from the Golan Heights.
Amen.
Yeah. And now they're sending their aircraft carrier around to Syria. And America's now provoking war with the Russians. And Russia keeps saying, back off. Friends, we're living in troubleless times.
Amen.
Amen.
In troubleless times.
Yes.
The prophet says, Russia must come down for the oil. In those days, nobody knew there was oil in Israel. There was a 1960s.
Amen.
Now they found so much shale oil in Israel. Israel has more shale oil than all the oil in Saudi Arabia. It's got more shale oil than Saudi Arabia's got crude oil.
Amen.
And then they found the gas out there off the coast. The Leviathan field and all those things. Masses and masses of gas with oil underneath. And now Russia's in Syria. Now they find oil, and the biggest deposit of oil they found is where? Under the Golan Heights.
Amen.
Which is land they took from Syria.
Syria,
Syria says, that's our land.
Amen.
And Israel says, this isn't your land, this is our land. Because it's heights, it overlooks Damascus and so forth.
Yes, sir.
And that's where the biggest portion of oil is.
Yeah.
So when Russia and Assad want the oil,
yes,
they're going to say, that's our oil.
Hey.
The Golan Heights of us belong to us.
Hallelujah.
And then, friends, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're in trouble. Because they said, the King of the North, I put a hook in your jaws, the book of Ezekiel, I'll draw you down.
Yes.
And God has to lure him down with something, and Russia has to come down.
Yeah.
Friends, and then you see the European Union falling asleep the way that it is.
Yes.
So interested in its so-called human rights. until it's a disgrace the things which they do.
Amen.
I read a book and I told the brothers about it called War with Russia 2017 by one of the biggest generals of NATO, just retired, and he wrote a book about how unprepared NATO is. NATO is 27 nations, but for them to do anything, they have to have a unanimous vote of 27 nations. Now you've got Romania and their different countries, which are friends with Russia, Greece, which is backed by Russia. And America's taken all of its forces, that's the thing that Obama did, took all of the forces from Germany and put them back in America. So the whole of Europe is so undefended.
Amen.
And the prophet said, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Russia will drop an atomic bomb in Rome.
Amen.
Russia will invade Europe, friend.
Yes, sir.
God hasn't forgotten what Germany did to the Jews.
Amen.
God hasn't forgotten that blood is crying out. How long? How long?
Amen. Amen.
There's coming a payback time for whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap.
Hallelujah.
It may be deferred to the next generation like it was in the days of Nineveh, but God doesn't forget.
That's right.
God doesn't forget. And Russia's got this anointing of Armageddon. And it's developed weapons beyond what America has now. It's renewing its military. It has a defense budget so much smaller than America's. But maybe 1/30th or 1/40th of America. But what they've done and the weapons they put. Now they're taking the nuclear missiles right into Kaliningrad, right to Poland. Just a few minutes to Germany. Just a few minutes to Europe. And America is so falling asleep. So falling asleep. All that's interesting is putting rainbows on the White House and all these kind of things. It's Belshazzar's drunken feast. It's the handwriting on the wall, but they don't see it because it's only the eagle in that age could read it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God had to send for this prophet, something had to usher forth from his throne. And he came and he read the handwriting on the wall. And the handwriting spoke of judgment.
Amen.
The judgment of Babylon. That you weighed in the balance and you found wanting. It's the same now, friends.
Amen.
America's being weighed in the balance. Donald Trump may say, make America great again. The prophet said, America will never be great again.
Amen.
America will never be great again. It says it's crossed the line. Look at it. Look at the way that it's going down. The prophet says, see how it's going down. And we see the quickening of the way that it's going.
Amen. Amen.
Economically, militarily, politically, in every way.
That's right.
Oh, friends. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
And they served the Lord. Amen. Blessed they were. When those pilgrim fathers went out there. Yeah, what did they say? We want to make America a light on a hill. We wanted to shine light to the nations. And America for a long time was a light on a hill.
Amen.
But what's it become now? Because you know the beast. In Revelation 13, that spoke like a lamb. In the end, it has to speak like the dragon.
Yes, right.
It has to become like the dragon. That's over the two horns. Yes. Freedom of religion, yeah? Separation of church and state. Look what it's becoming now. And this election is such a pivotal election.
Amen.
It's like it's on a knife's edge.
Yes.
The whole establishment. Because what's going on there, saying? The prophet said to us, Laodicea. They had a council, a political council. I said, what did that council represent? It says, the one world government. The prophets in 1965, the one world government that they are even now setting up.
Amen.
What is the one world government? It's globalism.
That's right.
That's what it is. And what does Clinton stand for? And Obama and Bush and all of them?
Amen.
Globalism.
Amen.
Now you find a man's risen up in America who doesn't agree with globalism. And he's a threat to the whole thing. Trump, he has his faults. He's a carnal man. But friends, what the man represents. And in America, there's like almost enough people who don't like what's going on.
Amen.
They don't like to see what Obama's made their country. They don't like to see. And when they see Britain, England, Britain leaves, or the Brexit leaves Europe, they say, why can't we be masters of our own destiny once again?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a massive struggle. There's a strife going on if you see what's going
Amen.
On.
Amen.
All the media that's been shown in those WikiLeaks have completely aligned themselves with Clinton. The political establishment have aligned themselves and they're firing everything they can. All her scandals have been covered up.
Yes.
This foolish thing you said 11 years ago. It's been headline news 2-3 weeks now. That's a great war thing going on, friends. And so much hinges on that. So much. Because Clinton she's going to change the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Amen. If she gets in, those conservatives are going out and she can appoint four liberals.
Mm.
Then see how America speaks like that.
Amen. Amen.
When she gets in there. But Trump's already said, I'll put conservatives, those that are pro-life against abortion, that are pro-family and all that kind of a stuff.
Mm.
Do you that I've been watching? I've been watching this one close.
Yes.
It's like such a critical junction. This it's never been like this before.
Amen.
And it's like no matter what they do, it's almost 50-50 still. It's like a neck and neck, neck and neck. And the establishment, the new world order, the globalists are throwing everything they can against that man. But friends, there's still a remnant in America of people.
That's right.
There's still a remnant of people there that remember things the way that they used to be.
Amen.
It's really interesting to watch. But the prophet told us that years ago.
Amen.
The prophet told us, see, watch what America becomes again. He said, America is going to empower the World Council of Churches, and then the persecution will come.
Yes.
So much is depending. I think it's in 3 weeks' time now, that election. So much depends on that. Because the way that it goes.
Mm.
If Trump gets in, like we said that other time, maybe things can push on a little bit longer. Because the man, he has his agenda. He wants to kick out his globalists. Wants to stop this process of America being overtaken and, you know, becoming just a part of the world government. But if Clinton gets in, I'll be very, very interested to see what's going to happen. I'll be interested because Ahab and Jezebel, they persecuted the prophets of the Lord.
Amen.
And it was Jezebel that did that. She persecuted the prophets of the Lord.
Amen.
And Obadiah had to take them and hide them away 150 and pictures in the caves and feed them with bread from the king's table. A persecution, friends. We're living in momentous times. And that's why these kind of times, the prophet says, always at the junction. God sends the eagle.
Amen.
He says, God always sends the anointing of the eagle at the end of it.
Amen.
He says, in the days of Egypt, when that kingdom, that empire was coming to an end, and God wanted to deliver his people, he sent the eagle. The eagle came forth from his throat, the anointing of the eagle. He says, Joseph, the eagle man, the revealer of secrets, he came.
Amen. But
when it was time for God now to usher deliverance to his people, it's always, as Noah was,
Amen.
The eagle, it's always the eagle that comes.
Amen.
Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. Let's just see this process, verse 5. So Isaiah, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. So he had to die to something so that he could see the real thing. He says, and above it, verse 2, stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was full with smoke. Now let's look where this man was at this time. Then said I, woe is me.
Amen.
For I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.
Amen.
For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So he's at the brazen altar. You know, it's judgment. He's unclean. He's in that realm. He's not yet in the place that he's supposed to be. He's ordained to be a prophet. He's ordained that God's going to put his words in the mouth of this man. This man is ordained to bring forth the mystery of redemption.
Amen.
Yeah? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's going to come from Isaiah.
Amen.
Unto us a son is born. Unto us the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be the everlasting Father. That's going to come from him. The full revelation of redemption. The prophet says, Isaiah preached all by 66 books.
Amen.
Chapters in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. He prophesies of John. At the end of the book of Isaiah, I see a new heavens and a new earth.
Amen.
The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. Yeah?
Amen.
You can see that's the whole mystery of redemption. Was this man was called to unveil this. But until this anointing came forth from the throne, the seraphim. Now this is what the prophet says about the seraphim. He says, those seraphim were sent forth. It says the seraphim, it means a burner. It means one which is next to the altar, is meaning the throne.
Amen.
The seraphims is the one who receives the sacrifice, cleanses the worshipper, and presents him to God.
Amen.
So something's got to come out to Isaiah in the condition that it is.
Hallelujah.
He's a righteous man in his own way. I'm sure he's been offering his appointed sacrifices. But it needs something deeper than that. For the mystery of his life to be unveiled, God has to send forth one of the seraphim. The prophet says the seraphim are like the cherubim. This is the same thing. He says the seraphim, they were the very next ones to God.
Amen.
Right at the altar.
Amen.
And they received the sacrifice. Remember in the seven church ages how they guarded them gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. You remember, we took them back to the Garden of Eden where the flaming sword standing there, the guard to the altar. So what are they guard, friends? The tree of life.
Amen.
The tree of life.
Amen.
You can be saved, but not partake of the tree of life. That's how all of those people that are saved in salvation, the foolish virgin and them, they don't receive white robes until the white throne.
Amen.
That's where they're given white robes and they're told, no, they didn't have eternal life.
Amen.
The prophet says they were believing unto eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
But friends, there's a people called the elect that are ordained.
Amen.
Unto eternal life.
Amen.
And what is the promise? Amen. To him that overcometh.
Yeah.
To the overcomer, you can partake of the tree of life.
Amen.
Which is planted in the midst of the paradise. But let's finish with this thought. What is this tree of life?
Amen.
What is this tree of life? With these anointings are sent forth to prepare the worshiper. So this seraph comes now to Isaiah and takes a hot coal of fire from off the altar, comes and touches his lips and says, your iniquity is purged, your iniquity is taken away. And then presents him now, and then the voice says, who shall I send and who will go for us?
Amen.
And now look at Isaiah, the anointing is in now. Look at the conditions. Here am I, send me.
Amen.
And then God puts his words in the mouth of this man, this redeemed man now. This man that has been prepared, ushered him right into the place where God can put his word into the mouth of this man. Ooh, that's the ministry of this chairman. That's why, friends, I have no intention of going anywhere else apart from this message.
Amen.
Amen.
If other people might have exciting this and exciting that, but me, I'm satisfied with this.
Amen.
This is our satisfying portion, yes, of this.
Amen.
Friends, other people might say this and that. No, no, that's okay. You know, what is that to you, Jesus? In follow thou me.
Amen.
We just want to stay with the tree of life.
Amen.
The tree of life. So, what is the tree of life? In the restoration of the bride tree, the prophet says, God's first precious fruit tree, Christ. He was that tree from the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
So in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The prophet shows in church, and we know it. Who was the tree of life? It was Jesus before he was made flesh.
Amen.
It's Melchizedek. That's why he preaches, who is this Melchizedek? Yes. It's the Logos. It's the same one that came to Abraham. He's the tree of life. And him being the tree of life, he's a fruit tree. So the tree of life brings forth the fruits of the tree of life. The prophet said it was the first fruit tree. The first one God planted here on earth was Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, or have not the fruits of my Father, then don't believe me. He was bearing the fruit of God. What kind of fruit did he bear? Let's watch him for a few minutes. Then the prophet goes to John chapter 1. He first finds his brother Simon and says to him, we found the Messiah, being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him, this is Andrew, to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, so it's a Simon, when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation of Simon. That was the fruits of the tree. When he was here, the tree of life, and God planted the tree of life in a body of clay. And the tree of life was planted on earth once again. That was the very first fruit that came forth from the tree of life. When you had come into the presence of the tree of life, nothing could be hidden. Because what is the tree of life? It's the Logos.
Amen.
It's the Word Himself. And the Word of God is sharper than it is.
Amen.
Discerning, dividing between the soul and the spirit. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And nothing is hidden, he goes on to say, before him with whom we have to meet him. But he searches the hearts. So, he comes to Philip. And they say, Philip goes to Nathanael, we found him of whom Moses said. And he says, but can some good thing come out of Nazareth? He says, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael come to him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee.
Amen.
Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Thou art the King of Israel. Now the problem with us friends, we're too used to these things.
Yes, sir.
Until it happens to you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And then when it happens to you afresh, and you come into the presence of the tree of life once again, and he shows forth those fruits to you.
Amen.
And he speaks personally to you.
Amen.
And he unveils the secret things of your heart.
Amen.
Then you start to understand what it is that they're speaking of.
Amen.
That was a powerful thing.
That's right.
What is the fruits of the tree of life? It's the ministry of the Son of Man.
Amen.
That's the fruits of the tree of life.
Hallelujah.
So how do we know where we are in the redemption cycle? We just look at the fruits.
Amen.
We just look at the fruits of the ministry of the Son of Man. And we know that we've gone all the way through. We've gone all the way through. We've come right to the mercy seat.
Amen.
We've come right to the tree of life dwelling between the cherubim. That's the dispensation that we're living in. So this anointing, this cherub that we've received, the messenger of the hour, the prophet, the eagle anointing now comes to finish the work.
Yes.
And comes to take the elect, to take us from our darkness, to bring us in through the gate, to purge us at the brazen altar, to wash us in the waters of the word at the laver, to anoint us, to wash us, to clothe us, to commission us, to bring us in now to heavenly places, into the sanctuary, into our high priestly position before Christ. Then we walk in the light of the candlesticks. And then we come to the final veil. And here's the cherubim.
Amen.
And the cherubim now, they usher us in.
Hallelujah.
And they usher us into the place that there's the tree of life. Let's just finish with a couple of quotes. We'll finish next time. The prophet says in Ephesians church age, it says, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life.
Amen.
Friend, you realize what this message is? It's the tree of life message.
Amen.
This is the most precious thing that came forth from the tree of life.
Amen.
In the ministry of the prophet. The first and second pool were powerful.
Amen.
But they never would have brought forth the bride. It had to unfold to the third pool, which was the breaking of the word. That's the fruit of the tree of life, which is the most important one to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we can take them books and we can take them tapes. And we can get ourselves quiet before the Lord, get ourselves prayed up. And the anointing of the eagle comes down upon us. And we lay ourselves in the presence of the Son. And we partaking of the tree of life.
Amen.
We partaking of the tree of life. Oh.
Amen.
And if you partake of the tree of life, you don't see death.
Amen.
As long as Adam could keep going and partaking of that tree of life, he was living in the
world. That's right.
And say to me, the thing that I need to do, I need to separate him from the tree of life.
Amen.
So what does he do? Points him to the tree of knowledge. What does he do to us? What keeps us from the tree of life? Too much time
spent
the tree of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The internet, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.
Amen.
All of these other things, we spend
Amen.
So much time in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. My friend, it's the tree of life.
Amen.
And the tree of life that's going to usher you all the way to the throne.
Amen.
That's what it's commissioned to do. And what is the strength for the journey that we need? It's these fruits of the tree of life. One of them is called, who is this Melchizedek?
Amen.
Another one is called the revelation.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Another one is called, how can I overcome?
Amen.
Oh, friends. God has done something mighty for us.
Amen.
God has done something so great for his children. He did great things in the days of Luther for his children. That was wonderful what he did. He did great things in the anointing of the ox, to give them an anointing, to die at the stake, to die in joy. That was wonderful what he did for them. But he's given us a message that will bring forth the fulfillment of the scripture. Some of us shall not see death.
Amen.
Amen.
We should partake so much of the tree of life. And if we are appointed to still be alive and remaining at that day, friends, that we've eaten, and that which will be quickened at that time by the presence of the tree of life himself coming down and breaking deeper into our dimension and ushering us into his dimension, will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
So friends, where should we be in this age?
Hallelujah.
What should we be feasting upon?
Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
Amen.
There were other fruits of the tree of life in the ministry of Jesus. There was a storm and he spoke to the storm.
Yes, sir.
And he said, peace be still.
Amen.
And then he saw in Colorado, peace be still.
Amen.
Amen.
It wasn't showing that the prophet is Jesus.
No.
No, it's showing the bride tree now.
Amen.
The prophet says the tree of life had to come in the bridegroom.
Amen.
But now it's the restoration of the bride tree.
Amen.
The tree of life from the day of Pentecost now was planted in his bride.
Amen.
So friends, we need the mystery of our lives.
That's right.
To bring forth the fruits of the tree of life as well.
Amen.
The fruits of the tree of life. When you witness to somebody, when you pray for someone and they say,
Amen.
You bring somebody
Amen.
Out of darkness, bring them to Christ. Those are fruits of the tree of life.
As Amen. Well.
When you get yourself under the eagle anointing and you enter into the spirit of intercession and you stand by the golden altar
Hallelujah.
And you take now that incense and you present it before the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, friends, that's the calling, that's the commission that we're called to.
Amen.
That's the tree of life message. The prophet says to him that the scripture says, to him that overcomes, will I give to each of the tree of life. What a thrilling thought this is. That tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which could not be approached because of the fall of Adam, is now given to the overcomer.
Amen.
The flaming sword of the guarding cherubim has been sheathed, but not ere its blade was bloody with the blood of the Lamb. So the same cherubim had to say, not yet, and had to hold Adam and Eve back, say, the seed of the woman's going to come. He's gonna, you will bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head.
Amen.
So just wait, just stay under bulls and goats, just stay under all these things. But there's a time coming that the tree of life is gonna be made flesh. And then you're gonna see the ministry now of the tree of life. And then you'll know it's a change of dispensation. And that's when Christ came, and it's the same now. Right through those ages, it says in Hebrews, none of them could be made perfect. In the age of Luther, they couldn't come fully to the tree of life. In the days of Wesley, individuals could, the prophet says, but as an age, they couldn't. And he says, but they're waiting. They're looking at
Amen.
The great cloud of
Hallelujah.
Say, finish the work.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We're depending on you to finish
Amen.
The work.
Amen.
We cannot be made perfect without you.
Nay, without us.
You and shadow and type have to finish the course.
Amen.
You have to go all the way. And you become one with the tree.
Hallelujah.
Because that is the end of adoption, friends. What is the end of redemption? That you and the Word become one.
Amen.
That you and the Word become one. That's what it is. And then you express the mystery of your life. The last one, the restoration of the bride tree, it says, he was that life tree that the angel kept Eve and Adam away from with the garden of the cherubim. Away from that tree. Now the same cherubims is trying to run them into it. Because there's a way made for them, see. But now they're pulling back. This is all sure news. Let's not pull.
Amen.
Amen.
Our studies to pull us back.
Amen.
Sent to the eagles and gathering on the rains, and let's gather.
Amen.
Amen.
He promised to be with us. You will find that anointing of the cherub, Howard.
Amen.
The eagle anointing.
Hallelujah.
On a Friday night, forsake not the assembling of one another, of the eagles when they gather. Be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And place in between your business, in between the business of life, you put a tree of life in the city. You've got fruits that came forth. The prophet said in the scenes, it says, then revelations in the presence of that ball of fire. And you just take one of those seals. You could spend your life studying it.
That's right.
Because the prophet says it just in a simple way, but the depth underneath it, because it didn't come from him. It came from the tree of life.
Amen.
It came from the Son of Man, manifesting himself through a Son of Man in an eagle age to usher a people, to usher his elect to the fullness of redemption. And we'll see it next time, but there's other people in this age as well who will be saved. And God has a provision for them as
Amen.
Well.
Amen.
But as for us, our inheritance. When the prophet went that day to Ora Roberts University and saw that great majestic building with those great big praying hands outside. And
Amen.
He went to Tommy Osborne's and saw the great work that was being done. And the prophet came from there and said, if I could just show them my headquarters, the end of Brother Leo's trailer, and a borrowed typewriter. He says, and I got myself on an ash heap, and I thought, God, maybe you could entrust me with those things. He says, and then a voice came down through those corridors, the same as mine, and said, I am your satisfaction.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the portion of the
blessing. Amen.
Anything else is a bonus in this life.
Hallelujah.
Whether we see first his kingdom and his righteousness,
yes, sir.
Anything else we appreciate it, but the focus of the bride is the tree of life.
Amen. Amen.
It's to become one with the tree of life, to bring forth the fruits of the tree of life in your own experience as well. The veil has been rent, the cherubim have come. They come and they usher us and they persuade us. That eagle anointing comes to tutor you and to lead you and to guide you, to persuade you to say, just keep pressing on. Press a little bit deeper. Press a little bit further. Don't worry about these secondary things of life. Don't be distracted by what's taking place around you. Keep your eyes on the prize. Forgetting the things that are behind. Press on towards this mark, this great prize of this great high calling, which is to sit with him
in Amen.
And to partake of the tree of life. That's our dispensation, friends. That's our message. That's what the message was given for. That's why it came your way. It wasn't a mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing. You were in him before the
foundation.
You're not one of those whosoever will kind of people.
Amen.
You were predestined in him before the foundation. And now he sends the cherubim to come to prepare you, to purge you, to quicken you, so you can express what he had in his life. And that's the fullness of it. I'm sure that's your desire, saints. That's my desire. May Christ
result
in me.
Amen.
And it'll be no longer I that lives.
But
it will be the tree of life expressing itself. I'm sure that's your desire. Let's stay. Let's come to a time of worship, saints, and we come to baptism. Sometimes when you get on those thoughts, it's not easy to say. Because it's rich. If you haven't been in your seals book recently, get back in your seals.
Amen.
There's such riches inside of that. I was in the fifth seal again this week. It is so powerful.
Amen.
And there were things I've never seen before in my life. There were things I never understood. When you just go and seek the Lord in season, friends, this message, it's an eternal message. It's an unfolding of the tree of life. So that we can partake of these fruits.
Amen.
Let's sing one more. Like I'm missing something. Let's sing Father.
Oh, yes.
said it's going to be easy, but he said he'll be with you.
Amen.
And long as you make the right decision, he'll give you everything you need.
So amen.
He'll move heaven and earth. He's already made a great provision. Before you were born, he sent a prophet. Yeah. He sent a message. He sent his grace. He wrote your name on a book before the foundations of the world.
Amen.
No matter what you're going through, just yield yourself to him.
Amen.
Because there's nothing that can overcome you in the line of duty.
Amen.
If there's a Red Sea, speak and go for it.
Amen.
If there's no water, speak to the rock in your way. Whatever you need, God has made a provision for his sons and daughters. Let's call upon him.
Amen.
Because you have chosen, and I hope I
love.
Paul actually says that he says they glorify Christ in me. Our friends, we're so glad in this age God sent us such a prophet and such a ministry that we can do the same thing. We can glorify Christ in him. But it doesn't stop there. Surely his desire,
amen,
is that people should glorify Christ in you. And that's why he sends forth his unction. He sends forth his message. He sends forth the anointing of the eagle to prepare us, to purge us, and to present us into his very presence, so that we can manifest from our souls,
amen,
that which that seed that is in you is ordained to manifest. Our friends, his plan of redemption is so great. He made it when you weren't even there.
Amen.
He made a provision for you. He made a provision for me. Let's appreciate what he's done.
Amen.
Let's press on, saints. Let's lay aside foolishness. Let's lay aside folly.
Amen.
Let's lay aside carnal things and carnal aims and carnal agendas. Let's lay aside the little empires that people want to build.
Amen.
And let's focus on the prize.
Amen.
Which is that Christ may be glorified in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all pray. Let's all call upon this.
Help us in this church, Heavenly Father. May you hear and answer all our prayers, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Pastor, Heavenly Father, we pray and come to my dear Lord. Continue to use the Heavenly Father. Even our Heavenly Father, God, and my Heavenly Father, to your work, Lord. I pray, Lord, thank you, Father, in your home. Father, may glory and honor of the Father, to you, and to you, I pray. Father, may glory and
let's come to baptism, saints. So glad for our sister who wants to be baptized. Let's read a scripture. Let's read from the book of Acts. The Acts of the Tree of Life in the Disciples. Let's read from Acts chapter 8. And great things start from small beginnings. Now, do you think of, I'm sure you want to be a lot further in your life as a believer, but if you think of where you are compared to where you used to be, but it all started off with a decision. Just started with something spoke deep down within the veil. There was just a deep inside of there. You couldn't explain it. Your understanding couldn't understand it, but there was just a something that was a yearning, a something that wanted to express itself, and you knew that I need to do something. I need to be saved. I need to be baptized. And it starts off from there. Let's read from 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, had the charge of all her treasure, and had come into Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This man had been right to the temple, where the Shekinah glory dwelt, but he never came into the presence of the Shekinah glory. Because God has to open the way for you.
Amen.
God has to do that for you. There were multitudes who came to this feast, never got into the presence of the Shekinah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot.
And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. It was a mystery of redemption. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Is it because of Christ? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee." See, there was a deep inside there. Friends, there's going to be multitudes of people coming in contact with this message, and they're not even going to want to know anything more.
Amen.
They don't want to go any further. They're just, ah. But there's an elect, there's a seed that he has. That just let the message, the light strike. There's something inside of him that starts straight away. But who is this man speaking of? Is he speaking of himself? What does this mean? How can I be saved? It's a sign of life within the veil. It says in Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And that was the seals of that age. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Friends, you make it into some big something. We want to put all these stipulations on people about this and that and the other. Why they can't be baptized? Why? Why? The prophet said, if the heart is hungry, that's it.
Amen.
If the heart is hungry, even if the life hasn't perfectly lined up, obviously not. How are you going to get your life lined up without the cherubim?
That's amen. Right.
How are you going to get your life lined up without him lining your life up for you? And so straight away, the prophet says, many a time I'd go out there patrolling those lines, meet a farmer on the way, testify to him, and go down in my work clothes and I'd baptize him in the creek. What a big rigmarole, friends, about baptism. When the person's ready, when the Lord's dealing with him, baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's not in condition. That our sister believes with all her heart. Anyone else who wants to be baptized, that's the condition for baptism. That you believe with all your heart.
Amen.
That you believe with all your heart. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
And may that be the testimony of our sister. Let's sing one song before we pray for the baptism. Let's sing that. Do you have a song for us today?
Oh,
baptized Sister Lily in the cold water. And the water was so cold in the lake. I was glad that day there was only one person, because I'm not going to be standing here for more than one person. And when Sister Lily came and the water was baptized, she didn't worry about the cold. It was a happy day. And when she came out, she fell on her knees rejoicing in the mud.
Amen.
And everybody said, oh, she said, today we saw a baptism. And then Brother Philly came the following week. And we baptized him in the bath at Brother George's house. And he was so big we could hardly fit him in the bath. We couldn't get him under the water. It's a blessing.
Amen.
It's great what the Lord does. It's good to think back to the goodness of
God. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for a happy day.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for our sister.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, Father, she's accepted you.
Yes.
She's believed the good report.
Amen.
Father, you've dealt with her heart. Father, you've given her such wonderful parents.
Mm. Amen.
That, Father, have brought her up in such a wonderful way.
Yes, Lord.
And have watched over her, Lord. And Father, she's seen Christ in them. I pray a special blessing upon them.
Yes,
for the way that they're raising their children. Bless them, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, now we're going to the waters of baptism. We ask for your blessing.
Amen.
Father, it's the seal of heaven.
Amen.
That is what is required.
Amen.
Father, we can do what we can do.
Amen.
But Father, we're looking unto you to pray that you'll bless this baptism. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing one as we go. Just a chorus for me. Nothing to fear in the future, Lord.
Amen.
I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll baptize her, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, with the baptism of fire.
Yes,
and Father, you will fill her soul with your glory.
Amen.
That you may be glorified in her.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that you'll deliver her, Lord. I pray that you'll deliver her from all evil.
Yes,
and that you'll continue to lead her. That, Lord,
please,
you will be a light unto her path. That you will be food to her soul.
Amen.
That you will be deliverance unto her in the time that she needs deliverance, Lord.
Amen.
Father, that she'll be a witness and a light.
Amen.
Use her for your glory in the closing days of time. Her friends and the people she associates with, Lord.
Amen.
Father, I do pray that, Lord, you'd reflect yourself in such a way.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, she would make them thirsty. Because, Lord, of the saltiness inside of her life.
Yes.
Bless her, Lord, we
pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for souls that are seeking you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for salvation so rich in faith.
Amen.
We thank you for the provision. We thank you for your blood.
Yes.
And now we commit our sister to you. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
saved. But if I can just say one thing to those people that are in the valley of decision, I want to ask you a simple question. Why are you putting it off? Some people say, I'm waiting for my such and such birthday, or I'm waiting for Christmas time, or whatever. Why? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice,
Amen.
Harden not your heart.
Amen.
You don't know what's going to happen then. Maybe the burden that's upon you now, the desire that you have to be, maybe it will have left you by that.
That's right.
Amen.
Because the Lord says, my spirit will not always strive with man.
Amen.
It's His grace. If there's a desire, if there's a burden inside of your life, it's not natural.
Amen.
That's right.
There's 7 billion people out there, I'm thinking of water baptism today. But if you're considering it, if there's something inside of you that's persuading you, don't put it off.
Amen.
There's no reason to put it off. The prophet says there's only one thing stopping standing between you and salvation. He says there's a dark shadow, a dark cloud to want to overshadow you. To tell you, put it off till later. No, do it when you're older. He says the preaching of the gospel is to cast out those demons.
Amen.
So that you see things clearly.
That's right.
Now what does the Bible say? It says repent and be baptized. That's the commandment of the Lord.
Amen.
Why do we need to dispute with that? The Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved.
That's right.
Don't you want to be saved? If you want to be saved, you've got to come through the door.
Amen.
There's only one provided way that God has made. It's not your sincerity. It's not your future hopes. That's got nothing to do with it.
Nope.
If he's dealing with your soul, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died for your sins, if you're acknowledging inside yourself, I need salvation.
Amen.
Now is the time.
Amen.
Don't put it off. And if you've made a decision, if you've invited him into your life, if you've confessed your sins, and you've accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior,
Amen.
And you haven't been to the waters of baptism, don't put it off.
That's right.
There's no reason to put it off. Let's sing this song.
What would you do?
for an excellent man come to first us in word of prayer. But as he comes up, I just want to say one thing as well. For those people that are baptized in water, it's not enough. You find so many people that are baptized in water and they stop there.
Yes.
It's like when you cut down a tree and the roots are still there. Give it time, it's going to start growing once again.
Yes.
And unless you go deeper in Christ, unless you seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost, unless you enter into that secret place of the Most High, and you push towards the prize of the high calling in Christ, consecrate yourself, seek His will, seek His mind. You'll find those same old things that you did the other side of your baptism, they will come back again.
Amen.
It's guaranteed.
Amen.
Jesus said, when the spirit is cast out, an evil spirit is cast out of a man.
Amen.
It wanders in dry places.
Amen.
And in finding no place of rest, it comes back to the original vessel. And if it finds it empty, it brings seven demons with it.
Amen.
And the last estate of that person is worse than the first.
Amen.
So if you've been baptized in water, that's the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's not the goal.
That's right.
The goal is for you
Amen.
To be standing in His glory.
Amen.
And for Christ to be glorified in you.
Amen.
And for God's purpose in your life to be manifest
Amen.
In your life. And you need to yield yourself.
Amen.
You need to wait upon the Lord. You need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Say, Lord, I want to go further. I want to go deeper. If you want to listen to good message, go listen to why are people so fussed about you?
Amen.
And the prophet speaks of that kind of a believer.
Amen.
That's up one week, down the next. One week they want to serve the Lord. Next week they're tempted by sin. And he says, and they come to me and they say, Brother, but I don't want to live this kind of a life. It's a sincere people. He says, but it's the place that you live in. You
Amen.
Need to go deeper.
Amen.
And he says, and what is the way? He says, it's the way of consecration. It's the way of yielding yourself.
Amen.
He'll give you all that you need if you have the
means.
Seek a deeper walk. Don't stay where you are. It's a dangerous place if you're not yet filled with the Spirit. Satan will be after you. You'll be on your face if you don't have the equipment that you need, the armor that you need to overcome the way that you should. Let us ask Brother Max to close first. God bless you, saints. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Just after the Sunday school, when I went back to my seat, I was feeling too thin, too thick. And it went right through my head.
Even
couldn't control myself. But one more time, but this was the best advice. So we went in. When I came back, I was really feeling the pain. As the service started, my amen was not coming at all. If I shout amen, I feel the pain in my ears. But I continued. So you could see my amen, if we were listening, came very late.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I thank God that He has healed me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the redemption story.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We have this redemption through the blood, Jesus Christ. Even according to your riches and glory, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you that we are a privileged people. Lord, when we look at the great witnesses, we look at Daniel, we look at Moses, we look at Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, they all saw this day and you had wanted to be part of it.
Amen.
And Lord, look at us standing here. You have chosen us, Lord, to run this last lap of the race.
Amen.
That these great witnesses are depending upon us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have this redemption story, Lord,
yes, Lord,
to tell at the end of the race, Lord.
Mm.
And Father, we thank you that this day, Lord, they couldn't go because the cherubim, they were holding the flaming fire sword. But today, Lord, that flaming sword, Lord, has been sheathed. And we have now access to the tree of life, oh God. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. That Father, our prayer is the Lord. something be done in our lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father, the things that easily beset us, oh God, we will leave them behind.
Amen.
And as access has been now open to us, to the tree of life, Lord, something will quicken us, Lord Jesus, to always, Father, go to it, Lord, and feed ourselves, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for what you have done for us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, for our little sister, Lord,
committed
into your hands, Lord. In this very hour, we know she has been sealed. And the world has been sealed out of her life, God.
Amen.
Father, we pray that her life will be a pistol being read of men, God.
Amen.
That her fellow friends, Lord, will see her life. And Father, something will tell them, oh Lord, to see the same Jesus Christ she has found in her life, oh God. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Once again, Lord, we are living here. But Father, we know we are not living in your presence. You granted us genesis to our homes. Lord, we know you do the same. Oh, Alpha and Omega. Oh, the beginning and the end. Oh, Father, we say, Lord Jesus, take us back to our process, Lord. And let us continue, Father, to meditate upon this word that we have heard. Oh, so rich that, Lord Jesus, we cannot, Lord, overlook them, God.
Yes.
Father, we need the quickening power.
Yes.
Oh, we need it, Lord Jesus, to quicken us, Lord. Oh, to continue, Lord Jesus, eating of this tree of life, oh God. Father, once again, we want to thank you for our pastor.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You have used him tremendously.
Amen.
And that's what you have been doing, Lord, all these days, Lord.
Amen.
Father, continue to use him.
Yes.
Anoint him always,
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, broaden, oh Lord Jesus, his spiritual mind, of God.
Amen.
Oh, as he seeks your face, of God, Lord, always open your mysteries, Lord, oh God. That when he stands before your bride, oh God, oh, we will receive always the fruits from the tree of life, oh God. So that our very lives also, Lord Jesus, will bear the same fruits, Lord. Father, bless him and the family, Lord. Oh, the job that he's doing, Father, commit all into your hands. Father, this morning, as we are gathered here, we want to raise our hands towards you now.
Yes, Lord.
And say, Lord, thank you, O God,
Amen.
For all that you have done for us.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Praise you, Lord. We Amen. Glorify you. For that, Lord Jesus, there is nothing good in us.
Amen.
But Father, you have placed us in this time
Amen.
Of your redemption
Amen.
Plan.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to your name, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us.
Yes,
we bless you, Lord. We thank you. Help us, Lord, to continue in faith, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. With all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.